Good day, all. Welcome to the Powerhouse Perspective, empowering leaders for business breakthroughs. If you've been following our podcast, you know that I'm Scott Medeiros, president of HelmWise. And today we are celebrating because with this episode, it marks the 1 year anniversary of the Powerhouse Perspective. But rather than have another long form podcast, what we have done is we have assembled the highlights from our first year of the Powerhouse Perspective. So please enjoy those, and I'll see you at the end of the highlights.
So as a leader, you're not always looking for the perfect solution right now because the variables are always constantly changing. So do you have the ability to take perspective of your team and collectively understand what you need and when you may need it? Because if you have that person, if you're very operations driven like myself, and you're all focused on all getting things done, but no one's out there winning revenue, you've got a problem. So you may have a person who isn't as good as the ones and zeros, but is a phenomenal relationship person. And right now, maybe it's all focused about delivering to that new client that we just won. But if you, you know, don't pay attention to that rainmaker, right? When you need a new deal, you don't have that person on board. So as a leader, you've got to be able to see that broader perspective to say, okay, how does this fit into the bigger picture, the bigger puzzle of the organization?
When it comes to your work, I used to tell folks that if you finish your work extremely well, the odds of them making sure the big things behind it are done properly go up dramatically, along with the fact that you don't invite near the amount of scrutiny out of your client or an inspector, whoever you're doing business for, providing services to. When you finish it neatly and very tightly and is presented properly, they assume you've got your stuff together. And the odd thing is, most of the time, if you hold your people and yourself to that level, they will actually have their stuff together because they start taking pride in their work and they go, well, if I'm going to make sure every bottle in the whole paint department and can or restack all the tile in the Lowe's tile department so that you can read it either walking from the front to the back or straight on, all of a sudden they start making sure, well, if I'm going to do that, the labels are right and the placement is right. And they start understanding the detail is actually. And so what do you do with those people in business and morale building, culture building?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was thinking about can you turn it into a science, right? And you're going to say this person meets all of the parameters. They have the right degrees, they have the right level of experience, they have the right certifications, they're the right age, they're the right, whatever. But then you're not taking in the human element, which is their personality, their drive, their passions, their motivations, those sort of things. And so in your reference to a sports team, that individual may not be the best player from a physical or a skill perspective, but what they bring, the intangibles, the psychological influence, which we all know the brain is more powerful than the muscle. How do you account for that? Well, that comes down to leadership.
It is your job to weigh out options, your job to keep yourself motivated, your job to lay out options clearly and make sure your people below you are considering all the options, your job to set up situations where they can build their motivation and their self-esteem and their confidence. And so these are areas that you impact as a leader. You think of a diamond with a lot of facets. Each person sees it slightly different. It's still a diamond, but you don't see it at all the same way as someone else. And so I think that it's got to be intentional. Your natural inclination is certainly to take the smoother, what you think is a smoother, easier route. So you must intentionally decide that I want diverse opinions in the room. I'm going to give them a chance to speak. I'm going to truly have a discussion with them about what is valuable and what's not so that they learn. That is part of investing in your people. And I think that's a lot of work. Most people rather think they see the problem, get a solution, and move on, as opposed to spend the time exploring what is the best solution.
So in that case, even though you may really have spent the time to learn one of your crew members and you have really invested in them, and maybe you have a great connection from a personality standpoint, you really like a person, but if you've given that feedback and they haven't improved, it may be time that they need to be put back on the dock. And you got to be willing to have that conversation as well, because that is truly caring, right? You want to put them in a place where they're going to be successful, because obviously if they know that they may be disappointing you, that's going to be stressful to them. And so do you want that person living with that sort of anxiety coming to work, or you want to put them in the place where they're going to be successful? And so I think that, you know, the caring again then comes into the critique and done in a very effective way so that they can grow and be a more capable member of the. So as much as we capture KPIs, we capture metrics, we think, like you said, there's this magic equation that if I figure out that equation, I enter the right variables, it's going to give me a guaranteed answer at the end. Well, unfortunately, business is no guarantee because it has so many variables that impact it. The individuals that are in your company impact it. The market impacts it. The customer impacts it. As soon as you enter a human into the equation, all bets are off. There is no perfect answer. And I think that as business leaders, you have to be honest, transparent with your individual leaders as well as your overall organization about there is no guarantee. All we're trying to do is find the solution of things or the combination of things that give us a better probability that we will be successful.
Often you do have to sacrifice some of the things that you did in the past that may have even been what created the relationship to begin with in order to make the next step. And that next step is worth it. You just have to be willing to sacrifice, step out in faith, go out into that next level of relationship or next level of business. And the reward is there, but it's a tough decision because you've gotten comfortable. Most of them because they don't want to sacrifice what they did in the past. Yeah. And there are some examples we can talk about where that does work at certain phases. But overall, when you know internally that you've maxed capacity, something has to go you used to do. A new something has to come in its place, and it has to be aimed at where you're going.
Patrick talks about in the five dysfunctions of team, how one of the greatest dysfunctions, aside from trust, which is the baseline, is that fear of conflict, right? And you mentioned the harmony aspect of things. And, you know, we as leaders of your ship, you've got to kind of welcome conflict. If you're trying to keep the crew under control all the time, then you're not going to get that diversity of thought. They're not going to challenge. They're not going to say, hey, sir, I think we're going to go onto the rocks, right? Because they're afraid. You're ruling by fear. And conflict, I think, is something that we naturally shy away from because we're not good at dealing with it, first of all. But as a true hard captain of a ship who's truly trying to achieve your just cause, your why, you've got to offer or welcome those differing.
Because at some point you stop being a manager, you start being a leader. Well, now the biggest thing is all those people below you, they know how to do their job most. Your job is to keep them aligned on the values, the purpose, keep the culture going, show them why doing their job is important. It's no longer driving every day, hit this number, do this metric. Right. And that's a tough switch for a lot of people.
Quite often, businesses get themselves into trouble because they haven't planned for the succession of their crew. And we would find that in Daniel Pink's work when he talks about drive, about the need for individuals to grow with the company, right? So you have to offer those opportunities for the individual to grow, and that's because you're thinking beyond today and what they need to be, what the business is going to be. Looking at their geniuses again, right? Do I have the right opportunities for that individual to stay fulfilled and to continue to grow? This is all a captain focusing on their crew. And we've said that one of the key things of a captain is to care for the crew. And if you truly care for your crew, the things that we've been talking about will be important to you as a captain. We've got to say, what is that true long-term vision that we have? Because if we're going in the direction of that North Star and we know where we are, now we can set a course to that next waypoint, that next destination. Often I think that when people set their vision, they think they're going to get to that vision in just one jump. And it's not. It's a bunch of micro steps. We call them waypoints within HelmWise. And you're constantly navigating to each of these waypoints because conditions change. So I think during Orient, it's all about where you are and where you're going. And I think that's where the North Star piece has to come into this equation.
And you know this by talking with your developing people below you, if you're a manager, if you're, you know, a president, whatever it is, even if you're working with teammates. You want to give them enough so that they can succeed, but you want them to feel self-worth of they went through the hard work to actually accomplish it.
Right. So that old adage, you know, give a man a fish or teach a man a fish scenario, right? You're going to do them much more positive benefit by teaching them to fish because they go through some of that trial and adversity than you were just giving them the fish or giving them the answer.
Right. And the reward is higher because they know they worked hard to achieve it. So you know intuitively when you receive something that you didn't work hard, you kind of get a bad feeling like maybe I'm not worthy of receiving this. And so that's when you have got to consider whether you put in the hard work necessary or if it was truly a gift, something you should be grateful for.
Correct.
One way to kind of stop that downward slide is immediately think of what you're going to do with that gift.
Hey, something bad happened. Good. It gives me an opportunity to do something different next time or to learn from it or to take a different approach. And so I think that that last law of the harvest, which says you cannot reap past harvests, is just a great thing to end on because it means just keep moving forward.
Yeah, and it's a direct analogy or metaphor for what we're talking about, wanting to be on that plateau. We've sown it, we've done it, we're going to live off of it. You're going to live off of it for that season, and then past that, you're not going to live off past harvest.
Very few people are trying to detect these transient principles and patterns, right? And they're dealing only with what they know right now. And they haven't actually tried to explore what does the sea state look like ahead of me, right? They haven't done their weather forecast, mm-hmm. for example. And so it's surprising to me that even as business leaders who really want to grow their companies, their gaze tends to be very, very close and not into a distance. We've talked about that in previous podcasts, and we talk about the need for humility, the need for sacrifice, the need for stewardship, and the need for legacy thinking. And so I think during that pause, it's also a good time to say, okay, am I indeed about to make a decision that is aligned with my personal values? And also that is going to reinforce the values of the organization. We talked a little bit in the past about culture, right? So I think that pause is a very key point. I think often as leaders, we tend to think we need to act almost instantaneously. Something occurs, we got to make a quick decision, and that need to do it quickly shows leadership. But in reality, that pause and really making a well thought out decision is more important. It's not the speed of the decision, it's the effectiveness of the decision. And the other piece that you mentioned, which is so important, we've talked about it from the beginning of this podcast series, about this alignment, about this communication around the values and the why. And even in this case of seasonality, if you are communicating with your leaders and those leaders are communicating and truly care about the managers and the employees underneath them, and they're keeping everyone aligned and informed, we should collectively be able to go through these choppy seas, these white caps, to get to the next destination. But if you don't, if you keep them out of the loop or purposely are not keeping them in the loop, then now you're going to fight the unknown.
Well, thank you all for reviewing our highlights, and we look forward to seeing you again on the next episode of The Powerhouse Perspective as we begin our second year of the podcast. Have a great day. Cheers.